By the word of the Lord. We're going to read in the book of Ephesians tonight, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. We're going to be taking communion here at the altar service tonight, and it's always a good time, a wonderful time, so I encourage all of you to stay and participate in communion service. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. Have you ever heard the phrase, killing with kindness? Killing with kindness. I don't know where that phrase originated. That's what we're calling this tonight. Killing with kindness. To be able to really demonstrate to the world, you know, most important lessons that I've learned over the years. And you know, you never get too old to stop learning. Amen. All along, we keep learning. And life experiences and all kinds of things that we come up against help us to keep on learning. Or at least we should be continually learning. But one of the greatest lessons that I have learned over the years, and that is the lesson that it pays to be kind. It pays to be kind. It's always in order. It's always the right thing to be kind. I read about this school. It's in Georgia, I think. It's a Bible college only for ladies. I didn't know that such a thing existed. But the Judson College, it's called. And the chaplain was leading in prayer. And he prayed, Lord, give us kind hearts. Lord, give us loving hearts. Lord, give us sweet hearts. And the whole room was filled with girls, and they all said, Amen. Kind hearts are always in order. And it pays to be kind. You say, well, how in the world can you fit in the phrase, killing with kindness? Well, I believe that with kindness, there's a lot of things that can be killed. A lot of things can be killed out with kindness. Animosity, bitterness, anger, hard feelings. A little kindness can kill a lot of things that need to be killed out. Amen? Hopelessness, despair, discouragement, depression, worry, stress, and we can keep going on. There's a lot of things that a kind word will just do great, do a lot to totally eliminate it. I remember being with Brother Huff. This was years ago. Marsh and I were first married in a restaurant. And it was at the lunch hour, I believe, or dinner hour. Anyway, we were in Springfield, Missouri, and the restaurant was packed full of people. And the little waitress that was running around there, it was obvious that she was beyond stressed. She was at her end, and she was just running around there, and people were, you know, calling her name and come here, and everybody was irritated with her. And when she got to our table, she was so exasperated. And I remember this. Brother Huff just reached over and put his hand on this little girl's hand, and he spoke a few kind words to her. And just saying to her, you know, it's amazing how well you're doing in this kind of a crowd of people. And he just gave her a few words of kindness. And you know what happened? She nearly killed herself waiting on us. And she just kept coming back to our table again and again and again, because everywhere else they were barking at her. And at our table, she knew she might hear another kind word. Amen. Now, the scripture that I read in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Words are powerful. And you maybe think, well, how does that fit into the Christmas season? Oh, it fits. It fits. You just try. And I've had this just recently, and I don't remember where we were at, but I think I was either trying to turn into a lane or turn into a parking place. Somebody started honking and yelling, and as they passed me, they gave me an obscene gesture, and I was just like, what happened? Somebody was mad, and I didn't even know what I had done to them, if I had done anything at all to them. But this is the time of the year when people, I mean, they're stressed out and they're upset, and everybody feels like that someone else is taking advantage of them. And really, you know, your natural, normal response is just to say, okay, I'm going to get out of this car and I'm going to talk to these people and line them out. But in actuality, what people need to hear, according to the Word of God, is not corrupt communication. Not any words that are going to do damage or defile yourself or defile your testimony. But through the power of your words and through the power of loving kindness, you can minister to people. You can be used of the Lord. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The word grace, of course, is just like it means gift, that your words would be like a gift to someone. Amen. I've been around people that their words discouraged me. I've heard people talking. By the time I got through in a conversation with them, I felt almost as low down and in despair as they were. Their words just drug me down. On the other hand, I've been around other people who spoke words of grace. It was like a gift. They just spoke kind words and edifying in words and encouraging words. And you talk about a gift during the holiday season is the gifts of words that have the power to destroy all of these things. Discouragement and despair and hopelessness and all of these things that I mentioned. It's quite possible that with your words, if you'll determine to be a person who learns how to be kind, that you will be able to really minister to people, help people, encourage people by the words that you speak. Amen. When you don't do this, when you allow yourself to get caught up in communication that is not pleasing to the Lord, then the scripture says that the Holy Spirit is grieved. The Spirit of God that dwells inside of the believer is grieved because you've allowed corrupt communication to come out of your mouth and to defile yourself and defile those that are around you. Instead, you know, you can always find a kind word. It's so humorous. I had to get used to it when we came to Kentucky because I wasn't used to other women calling me baby and sweetie and darling and all those things. And I remember Brother Gary Pilcher, when he came here for a revival, he was from the north in Iowa. And he was staying out here at the used to be charcoal house and the Ramada that was there. It's gone now, but they would allow the guests to go into the restaurant for their breakfast as a part of the motel arrangement. And so he would go over there for breakfast during the revival. And after a day or two, Brother Gary said to me, you know, these women around here, they're kind of forward. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, my waitress, she keeps calling me darling. And northerners, they don't know how to take that. But I just know that if my wife is mad at me and she's not saying nice things to me, I can just go out to Frisch's or somewhere. And not really. And I'm going to hear a kind word. Amen. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put it away. Don't let it be a part of your conversation. You may want to say it, but don't say it. You may feel like saying it, but don't, because you'll not only defile yourself, but you'll grieve the Spirit of God by words that you speak. Amen. And then in verse 32, be kind one to another. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? Who's our supreme example? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The greatest example to all of us is the Lord Jesus Christ, of kindness and long-suffering and forgiveness and showing mercy and tender-heartedness. So we follow the example of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we show kindness because the Word of God commands us to show kindness. Amen. We show kindness because it is the love of God being demonstrated even in our speech, the words that we say. Love talked about is easily ignored, but love demonstrated is irresistible. And someone, they see the reality in you. And when you give, and we're talking a lot about ministering to people and giving to people. And we all have to work on this. I have to work on this because I find myself frustrated by so many people coming and calling and needing help and trying to, filter through the ones who have legitimate needs and those that are just bumming during the holidays. And I find myself frustrated sometimes, but I know that the right response in every case, no matter what their motive is, no matter what they're doing or why they're doing it, the right response is kindness. Amen. Loving kindness. Demonstrating loving kindness. Ministering to them and pouring out, and your words being grace to them. Some of them, they may never, ever know really a Christian. They may never really have an experience of an encounter with someone that knows the Lord. And so when they come to you and you know of someone that's in need, maybe they're just pressing you for a few dollars and you don't even know if it's a legitimate need, you still have a responsibility before God to be kind. Amen. Amen. Show kindness because the Word of God commands it. And then number two, we show kindness because it reflects the nature of God. It's who He is. God commends His love toward us. When we deserved it, no. God commends His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us, undeserving, but yet He gave His all for us in our sin. And we didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But yet He showed His love. Psalm 117 verse 2. And actually, when you run references on this subject, you'll find dozens and dozens of scriptures about His loving kindness and His mercy. All through the Psalms and many other places in the scripture, you're going to find verse after verse after verse, because it reflects the nature of God. And that's who we're to be imitating. We're to be like Him, Christ-like in all that we do. For His merciful kindness, this is Psalm 117, verse 2. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. You can be kind. Amen. You can be kind. And demonstrate the nature of God, that you have been affected by it. We're commanded in the Word of God, and then His, when we do, it reflects who He is, and it reflects your new nature. Since you are made in the image of the Son of God, you are a creature created in His likeness as sons and daughters of God. Amen. The world, as I've already described, the world is, they feel like what we need to do is give people what they deserve. If they do something to me, then I will do something back to them. I'll get them back. If they bump into your shopping cart in the aisle and or block the aisle, or whatever that they do that irritates you. There's a lot of opportunities to get upset, nervous, and if you're not careful, say a few words that will not honor the Lord. That's what the world does, but since we're Christians, we're believers, then we have a whole new response. Not like the world. Amen. And it demonstrates the grace of God in our life. But God is full of grace and mercy. Amen. And His grace poured out in your life. You know, giving to you what you do not deserve, the mercy of God. Giving to you what you do not deserve, the grace of God. Amen. Oh, we don't deserve, we are not worthy of all of the good and the wonderful things that God sends our way. Amen. But we are to show loving kindness. It's a gift. It's really a wonderful gift during this time of the year. And then I believe the Bible is very clear that we are to be specifically kind to strangers. Now that really goes against our nature, doesn't it? Because we back away from strangers because we think strangers are strange. And we don't want to be around them and we're afraid of them and because we don't know them. But the Bible is quite clear about our responsibility to people that we do not know. Amen. Amen. I'm not suggesting that you put yourself in a vulnerable or a dangerous position. But I do believe that as God gives you opportunity to be kind and to be good to strangers, that you should. You know, and sometimes it's pretty amazing. We've had some experiences over the years. We had left when we were living in Oklahoma. We'd left to go up to Iowa to preach a few nights for Brother William Hill. And we were driving. And we got just to the Kansas line. And our car just went kaflooey. And we had lots of kids, but we didn't have much money. And I didn't know what was going on with the car. I'm mechanically challenged. And so I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know how to fix it. I didn't know what I was going to do. And here we were a long way from home. But a car pulled up in front of us. A man, his wife, in a car. They were somewhat older than us. Got out, asked what was going on. They helped us get our car towed to a garage. And he talked to the people in the garage. Honestly, I felt like afterwards, I wondered if they were not angels. It was just like an angelic thing that happened. And it was either angels from heaven or angels from a church or believers who were practicing what we're talking about here tonight. Because not only did they take us to this mechanic shop, but the car was fixed. And after it was fixed, the mechanic said, those people that were here and brought you here, they paid for that. And not only that, but they gave us extra money to buy food with. Wow. The Lord knows how to provide. They might have been angels, or they very well could have been just Christians who were practicing kindness to people that they did not know. Strangers. Giving to them. Ministering to those in their need. You see, the Bible talks about that, you know, it's a natural thing to give to someone you know and to meet the needs and be kind to someone that you already love. That's what everyone does. But to go above and beyond what just the average person does, a Christian does, then you minister to people that you don't know. You help people in their need. And you sometimes even help people that you wouldn't want to help them, like the Samaritan who came along, and that man who was been beaten up by robbers and left for dead. The religious group came by, the priest, the Levite came by, only looked and went on, but the Samaritan, he looked and he helped and he gave and he loved and he even went beyond the norm. And not only in ministering to his needs, but taking him to a place where he could be nursed back to health and paying the full price of it, and even saying, if there's more to be paid later, I'll pay it all. This was in the context of a man saying to Jesus, who is really trying to find out, how far do I have to go? Who is my neighbor? Who do I have to help? He was a legalist because he wanted to know, what do I have to do? Who do I have to help? And Jesus gave him this extreme example in this story that we know as the Good Samaritan, to help him to see that he needed to show mercy on everyone, no matter who they were, no matter what prejudices there were or attitude that there was toward them, that he needed to love them and to care. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy. He that showed mercy. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. What an example, what a lesson to see that we have a responsibility to strangers. Matthew 25 and verse 35, it says, for I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. By this time, they're scratching their head. What? What are you talking about? You didn't do all those things. That's what they say. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when we saw thee, and when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When we saw thee as a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, or when we saw thee sick or in prison and came unto thee. When did all this happen? We don't know. We don't remember that we did these things. And he answered and said, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. What a lesson that when we minister to the stranger and we show loving kindness to people that we don't know, we're not acquainted with, that we're truly demonstrating the love of God. Amen. Amen. It's as if you're doing it unto the Lord. And we are to do what we do as unto the Lord. Now, there's a lot of, secular groups that have these pay it forward type things going on, and they have websites and encourage people to give and give to strangers. But their philosophy is just anonymously help someone and just help them. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but actually what we need to be as Christians doing is we need to intentionally help people. We need to determine that we're going to be His hand extended. We're going to show the love of God, and we're going to show kindness to people that we don't even know. Amen. We need to be kind unto strangers, and we need to be kind for the glory of God. Make sure that what we're doing it that His name would be glorified. That you're not doing it so that they will say, oh, that person is so good, that person is so kind. But everything that you do it as unto the Lord, and you do it for the glory of God. And you do it in a way to not bring glory to yourself, but instead to the Lord. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And then in Mark 9 in verse 41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Just a cup of water, the slightest thing that is given to be given in the name of the Lord. And we have been called to loving kindness. We have been called to kill with kindness. Destroy all these things that are going on around us. This spirit of darkness and depression and all these things that are around us. And a believer can step on the scene, and just by his words, he can change the whole atmosphere. Amen. By his kindness, by his love demonstrated, he can change the whole conversation and all that is going on in that person's life by giving and showing loving kindness. And what a gift. What a gift at this time of the year. Amen. A good word, a kind word, a blessed word to edify. Words that strengthen, words that edify, words that build up instead of words that are discouraging and depressing. Amen. Praise God. For those that work in the public and you're you know, meeting people all the time out in the public, it's a challenge. I really have compassion for people who are daily working with people out in the public, because people today are so hard to deal with. It's just hard. People have such bad attitudes, and I know it's all a reflection of the problems and the needs in their life, and their lack of knowledge of the things of the Lord. That's why that they need someone like you and me to step into the circumstance, show a little love, spread a little loving kindness, and just kill all that that's going on with your kindness. Just destroy it all by the example and the words and your testimony to people in their need. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a very fitting Christmas message, isn't it? For those of you that are out there shopping and having to deal with the crowds and the people, I encourage online shopping. But if you do have to get out there in the crowds, go prayed up and go prepared with some good words. Go expecting to meet some people that are not too happy. And let the Lord use you to minister to people in their need. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, that you've called us, Lord, to demonstrate the love of God in a world that's so messed up and so in need. And I know the power, Lord, of the tongue and the power of the love of God, the power of loving kindness. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help each of us, Lord, to demonstrate your love to a world that's in need. We know that you have commanded us to show kindness. And Lord, that it's your nature, it's who you are. And help us, Lord, to be like you and to show a world that they need you. Lord, let our testimony be not just our words, but just our lifestyle and our attitudes, Lord, expressed before men in this world as a demonstration of the love of God. In Jesus' name, praise God. Let's stand, everybody.